Blog Talk Radio.
Person to represent us to fix these issues and yet more problems.
I'm Taylor Mondick. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together in two. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night's edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about teen gun violence in Fort Worth and what is the answer to getting it under control. Fort Worth police are investigating a quadruple homicide from last Friday night in the Morningside neighborhood where four people were shot inside a car. Officers were dispatched to the 1200 block of East Jessamine Street in reference to a shooting call around 7 p.m. Upon arrival, officers located four shooting victims inside a vehicle ranging in age from 17 to 19 years old. According to the Tarrant County Medical Examiner's Office, the victims were Mark Boyd, 17, Ricky Craddock, 19, Amarion Craven, 17, and Jasmine Nash, 17 as well. With that said, there was a horrific photo circulating on social media where three of the victims could be seen still seated in the car. That photo is the catalyst for this show. Tonight, we want to know how to bring an end to teen gun violence in Fort Worth. Nothing is off the table. I say that because without solutions, our teens will continue to kill each other. But before we begin, a disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or our advertisers. With that said, I'm waiting for most of my panel to arrive. I see Mr. Mondick is on the line, but I'm waiting for several others to arrive as well. Good evening, Taylor. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, you're running, first of all, Taylor Mondick is running for House District 95. So he's someone who could affect laws in Austin concerning things like this. That said, what comes to mind in terms of something like this and putting something in place in terms of a law that could help something like this, Taylor?
Well, the first thought that comes to mind, I keep thinking about the juvenile justice system and how mismanaged it is. And, you know, recently we've seen stories come out from our own system here in Tarrant County. And, you know, some of these kids are going in and due to a clerical error or an oversight, you know, they're locked up and not able to see their family for years. And so there's solutions that obviously we have to talk about. And I look forward to hearing what ideas people bring. But my first thing is we got to take a look at the juvenile justice system and try to move these kids away from that in a more rehabilitative program. I think that's how we're going to start to see some change there.
Okay. So let's say it as individuals of just the community, are there ways in which we could reach out to our elected officials, like our representative in House District 95, whoever that may be come November the 8th? You are running along with your opponent. What could we do in terms of suggesting ideas about laws being changed to affect things like this? How does that process?
Right now with our current representative, good luck, I guess. You know, you can email, you can call. Her office is on Jennings. I know many have tried and been unsuccessful. For me, on the other hand, and this is a promise, you know, first 100 days, that's three town halls. One meeting a month where we can come together and see each other like real humans face to face, have these kind of conversations, because this issue of crime is not anything I can fix. It's not anything anybody can fix. It is going to take a community effort. That is it. It has to be all hands on deck. And how am I supposed to do that if I'm not listening to the community or knowing what's going on every street corner in District 95. So, you know, the process, like you said, or like you asked, is to call, email, write, show up. But to put it bluntly, it's going to be hard next come November if we have the same representative.
Wow. Was this particular shooting in your community, was this in your district?
Oh, yeah. It was two blocks away from, well, two blocks and just one major intersection away from where I live. And ironically and tragically, I had walked over there. I block walked over there that same week. And I was talking to literally people on the street, and their number one concern was crime. You know, a woman just said that she heard gunshots the other night from the house across the street from her. And every single person I spoke with that, you know, I was able to mentioned that crime was an issue. And it's like this happens, and it's incredibly tragic. I mean, these they're kids. They're, you know, it's wild.
So you were actually in this neighborhood, and this is actually a district in which you would be working in, which you would be covering.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I walked all up and down there. It was Jessamine Davis Street. What starts with an M? I can never pronounce it. It's like Mulkey or Malarkey or something like that. It's that Morningside neighborhood is right next to where I live. And I would care anyways, but I definitely care. That's happening so close to home.
Wow. And, you know, the thing is, I think most people are concerned that, you know, police, you know, elected officials, you know, what are they going to do? But like you said, it's really a community effort. Like, we all have to get involved and say enough is enough. And then when we do, we'll take back our blocks, we'll take back our communities, and then we'll see change.
Yeah, amen. And I do have some ideas, and because we can't keep doing the same thing. I feel like every time we talk about crime or I hear about crime from elected officials, you know, depending on what side you're on politically, it's like always the same solutions. It's like one side ban the guns, the other side, you know, harsher penalties. I'm like, this clearly isn't working. And I think that the cause actually goes much deeper than just surface level issues. And we can talk about that later and save some stuff for the rest of the show.
I'm just curious, you know, what role do you think poverty plays in it?
I think it plays a pretty significant part in crime. Listen, when what's the broken window theory, right? Was a mayor in New York, and his big campaign was fix the broken windows. The environment that you're around and you surround yourself with or that you grow up in, that is a huge part. That affects a huge part of your, you know, disposition on life. And so poverty, when you've got these babies seeing only poverty and, you know, drug dens and trap houses and just crime everywhere, I mean, what kind of picture does that paint in their imaginations for their future? And so it's kind of this perpetual cycle of crime and violence. So I think that plays a huge part. And especially if you're a kid and you're suffering through poverty, you probably have a single mom taking care of you too, you know, not a father figure in your life. I think that's incredibly huge. So that's why it's going to take all hands. This is not something you can just fix with a law. You have to have everyone on board.
Wow. You know, I think where I'm at is, you know, I was someone who grew up in poverty and actually grew up in the housing project in Memphis. But I really think it's a mindset over matter a lot of times. But I think a lot of people are not in tune to that. A lot of times people become or succumb to their circumstances instead of realizing that you still have the mental capacity to rise above it. And I think in a lot of situations, a lot of these kids are affected by the people that are around them because that's all they see. And I guess if you never leave your neighborhood, then you never know that better exists, even though you may see it on television. But I think a lot of times people internalize television as just fiction. You know, that's not real, or I can never attain that. So if you never go outside, let's just say a lot of people in Fort Worth never go to Dallas, because they assume, you know, things are so different in Dallas, I wouldn't want to go there. And the same with Dallas. They never come to Fort Worth. And so I wonder how much would change if the children were able to experience something outside of what they see every day.
Incredibly insightful. No, it makes total sense. And, you know, the other day, I don't know if will Pastor Tatum be joining us this evening?
You know what I asked him? I think he's a little taken. I think he's a little upset, let's just say, and I don't want to put it out there for him, but I think he's a little upset by the outcome of the meeting that he had and the people that I think some, he said, attended and then walked out prior to the meeting ending.
Yeah.
And I was not there, so I'm not sure what all happened,
yeah.
But I think he's a little disappointed.
Well, then I'll say this, you know, because he deserves, you know, credit where credit is was due. He was talking about this at the meeting, and you know, you just brought it up, and it was, you know, if he didn't have the talent that he had playing football, he would have ended up just like some of the other people in his neighborhood. And it was because someone came, saw that talent, and pulled him out. He experienced the world. He said that he was getting, for the first time, 3 meals a day. He felt safe walking outside, you know, and that stuck with me. And it goes in line with what you're saying, that, you know, he got to experience something different, and then that's what, you know, kept him on the straight and narrow. But how do we do that for kids that, you know, say aren't athletically talented, or some of our kids, I'm sure, are geniuses, but they're getting overlooked by the system. It's like, how do we infiltrate, you know, these kids' minds and show them how great they could be and experience the world? You know, that's something we have to figure out.
I agree, and I think another thing, when I was in school, y'all, and I'm dating myself, but when I was in school, there was something called shock, in which kids maybe didn't feel like they were destined to go to college. They could take up welding, or they could take up auto mechanics, or they could take up cosmetology, which is something you don't see in schools today. And I just wonder how many could be saved if programs like that were brought back, where people who maybe didn't feel the college thing could maybe, you know, learn that they have skills with their hands, that they could be millionaires in some cases. If they just use their gifts to keep them occupied and out of trouble.
You are talking to my soul right now, because that is one thing that I have been telling every person I can meet, is we've got to bring back trade programs, even apprenticeships, so they can learn the value of a dollar early on. I think that would make a huge difference in schools. You know, there's so many sports and recreational programs out there, even for communities that experience high crime and high poverty. Let's teach them skills, you know, that they can leave school with, and they're making, you know, $80,000 fresh out of high school, you know, with a good paying job. I think taxpayers should demand that happen in all publicly funded schools. I agree.
And you know what? Some people would probably say, now, what does a white man have to do with Morningside and the shooting? And first of all, I want to say he may be your next representative over in Morningside. But secondly, I think we got to think outside the box in terms of solutions, because if it was just that easy to fix, we would already have the solution.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yeah, and you're right. And I'll tell you, I'm so glad that I went to that meeting over there in Morningside the other day, because they said a lot of things that really made me think. And, you know, just because there's aspects of, say, living in Morningside or growing up there that I won't know. You know, I've lived in this area on the south side for almost 11 years now, but I didn't grow up there, you know, so I recognize that. And that's why I'm always willing to listen. I'm always willing to learn. I want to know people's stories and their experiences. I think we just brush that off so often and just judge someone by the outside. And it's like, no, tell me your story, because then I can really get to the heart of the issue, you know?
I agree. I think, too, we underestimate, you know, for those who aren't religious, you're probably going to say, okay, that's all malarkey. But when we took prayer out of the schools, it shifted something. And it was a gradual shift, but it shifted. And I think it kind of went downhill from there. And I think it would not be a bad thing to go back to just having some type of prayer, some type of focus before your day began, like an affirmation of your day and commanding your day. Because I think we don't know what some of these kids come to school with on their shoulders. We don't know the households that they live in, or you know, what elements they have to walk through just to get to school. So I think just a little focus before the day begins, whether that's a prayer or that's an affirmation with the children about commanding their day and taking control of their day and, you know, commanding that their day be positive, could change the way things finished off for their day, if they had that something, whatever that mm-hmm. is, yeah, to start off their day.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I work with kids. I have for 20 years. I've been an athletic coach, and I own my own facility now. And I do that with my own athletes, you know, because who knows how their day went at school or what's going on at home. But when they come into my gym, I expect them to be on point and respectful and a good teammate. And we do that at the beginning of our practices. You know, we take a beat, take a minute. If it's a team, we actually, you know, give positive affirmations to the person across from us, but something, you know, we always try to do something like that because it sets the tone. And I could get on board with that for sure.
You know, and speaking of your facility, you're an entrepreneur over, or the entrepreneur for, you have a facility, a gymnastics type program.
Yeah. So it's basically just a big giant warehouse sweat box. And we have trampolines. We have competitive and tumbling, and we have a cheer program. We have little babies in there. So we have kids from 3 years old all the way up to, you know, 18, 19. And we have some homeschool programs that come in and work out. So it's fun, but I love working with kids. It's like I tell my coaches all the time, you don't understand your impact. You can literally change a life, shape a generation just by the way you coach. And I think it's a very underrated career. So all my coaches out there, you rock.
You know, where I was going with that, and I was going somewhere with that, is that you're providing a facility in which they can let off steam. They can exercise. Mm. They can, you know, basically when you exercise, you let off, I think they say, some type of endorphin, you know, from within your body. I think all of that is necessary for children, you know. And so I think we don't have enough here in Fort Worth where children can get out and do something that where there's no threats around, there's no violence around, there's, you know, it's just a peaceful place in which they can play and be kids. And I think we need something like that for all ages. You know, and that's something that work is lacking.
Yes. We're not focused, you know, in schools. We're not focused on the whole kid, you know, like the mind, the body, the spirit. I don't even know what we're focused on, to be completely honest. But, yeah, you're definitely onto something there for sure. We need to need that.
Imagine if you had facilities like that all over the city, age appropriate, where they could go and let off that steam and learn how to flip properly and that type of thing. How positive that could be in terms of exercise, you know, mental release, stress, you know, that type of thing across the city.
Oh, gosh, my wheels are turning now. I'm going to add something else to the plate.
I'm just saying, they need something.
You're right.
And there's just not enough facilities here. There's just not enough to do.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
and we're about to run out of space, too, with all these new apartments going up. Just saying.
This is true. And, you know, a lot of people might say, well, Six Flags is over there, or, you know, Wet n Wild or whatever they call that, the Hurricane Harbor, that type of thing. But a lot of kids don't even have transportation to get over there. And buses don't run in Arlington, if you don't know that. And so if you're here in Fort Worth and your parents don't have access to transportation to even get you to Arlington, you may never even get to Six Flags or Hurricane Harbor.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just read we hired Fort Worth ISD hired a new athletics director who's actually a former gymnast. That's something that I think I could look into and see what we are doing for kids in that regard. So I think I know it can make a huge impact. I've seen it, you know, half my life working with these kiddos.
Wow. So my thing is this, you know, we're talking solutions tonight because what happened over there in Morningside should not happen. And we do know that if it is not addressed, it will happen again. And I think solutions should be at all level, physical, mental, spiritual, you know, all of the above, because whatever's going on, it has got to be broken on many levels. Do you agree it's just not, is multidimensional in terms of what's going on with the violence?
100%. Yes, it's the, like I mentioned earlier, it's the family. It's the lack of fathers in homes. It's the fact you can't discipline kids in schools anymore. It's, you know, it's all of these things. It's, I would say in some cases, this may be a little controversial, but, you know, it's over-medicating kids. It's just so much there. That's why everybody has to have a seat at the table. We need our pastors. We need our community leaders and activists, people like you that have a reach in the community. We need, you know, well-respected individuals. We need people who pulled themselves out of these situations. And I will say a lot of these solutions were brought up at that meeting the other day at Morningside. And yeah. It was, I loved what I was hearing. You know, one gentleman was talking about how in that particular neighborhood, the pipes, even the water pipes, are filled with lead and haven't been, you know, looked at and cleaned, and it's environmental. So there, it is multidimensional, but it's a big one to tackle, you know.
But you know what? But we got to start somewhere. And yeah. I think when I saw that photo, and I know you got a chance to see that photo as well, was it not heartbreaking?
Oof. Oh, that was – stopped me. You know, to know that it was real, it was not fiction, it was not a movie poster. I mean, these were real kids. I mean, that was a hard photo to look at.
I kind of had the feeling like, you know, it's like a out-of-body kind of thing. Like, I'm like, was it real? Did this really happen?
Yeah.
I wanted to believe that, like, it wasn't real. I did not want to believe that those were real victims. Well, you know, I couldn't believe that. I mean, because it happened about this time of day, you know, and so I was just thinking, like, you know, a week ago, this time a day, this is what happened. And I'm just amazed that, you know, they were sitting in a vehicle and whatever occurred. But how do you make sure that the next one doesn't happen and the next one doesn't happen? And how do you take guns out of the hands of these teens? I mean, it's,
well, yeah, it wasn't out of them. Body experience for sure. One thing I think, and I'm not 100% sure that, but if say for these smaller offenses, I mean, say someone was robbed over in Morningside, you know, I know our police are busy and they're focused on other things, but I'm wondering if we started aggressively investigating some of these, you know, minor offenses like robbery or, you know, auto theft even, if we started aggressively giving attention to those, if that would not curtail some of the other, you know, major offenses, you know, I don't know. I just, it's so hard because nowadays I feel like we're locking people up for really silly things. And then something like this, it was an article or two. I'm like, why isn't this splashed over the news everywhere? It's crazy to me.
It was a kind of blackout on it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it, and I'll tell you, the other day, like, one of the gentlemen at the meeting said, if this were to happen in Clear Fork, you think it would be everywhere? And hands down, it would have been. That made me think. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It would be on every news channel for the entire news cycle, next 3 weeks. And I'm like, these are three kids that were, it was a mass murder, right? That's like a definition of a mass murder. Four more shot dead. I was surprised that it's not plastered everywhere. Why do you think that is?
You know what? I'm going to tell you what bothers me is that sometimes law enforcement, when they associate a particular crime with, oh, maybe it was gang related, or, oh, maybe it was about drugs, or, oh, maybe what, to me, in my opinion, I don't care what it was about. You know, it still needs to be investigated just like it would any other crime. And I think sometimes it does that. So that should never be the case. But I've seen that happen where, you know, it's kind of like, I'll give you an example. Someone in another state had a child that died to gun violence, and there's something that's called, you may know more about this, being, you know, what you're running for. it's a victim's relief fund or something where the family gets so much money if your child is, you know, some kind of way died due to violence. And and they went to collect that money. They were told, you cannot collect it because we understand that your child was involved in a gang. And so the parent was just, like, horrified because it was like, you know, no, my child wasn't involved in a gang. But they never gave that family that assistance because they said that, you know. And so I just really think sometimes there are some stereotypes that go along with these things, which does not make it right. Yeah. But that's right.
No, it doesn't. These are someone's babies. These are someone's kids. It doesn't make it right. So let me ask, how much do you think that race plays in an issue like that?
You know what? I did not want to use the race card, but probably quite a bit. It's absolutely unfortunate because those are the things we got to change in this country because, you know, a lot of people would say, like, what happened in Uvalde? You know, if those children had been Caucasian, then the officers would have responded more quickly. And, you know, they wouldn't have been standing out in the hall, you know, conversing about what to do. They would have just ran in and did it. So I think in situations like that and this, race does absolutely play a role, which it shouldn't, because when you are law enforcement or, you know, you are hired to, you know, investigate and solve crime for all people, regardless of what it may be associated with. Because, you know, in my opinion, the families still deserve answers, you know, and the media should cover the story just like they would any other story. So,
I could see that. I could understand where you're coming from. I'm just curious. I feel like the media needs to bring more attention to this. I personally, and this could be my own fault, do we know if the suspect has been caught? Do we even have a suspect? What's going on with that?
I don't know. And I'm hearing two of my guests are having phone problems. I'm going to say this, y'all. Something's going on with the phones because when I called in earlier, my phone said that my bill had to be paid, even though my bill is not due. And the two twins who are supposed to be on the phone that said their phones are basically saying that they have to pay 1 cent a minute. Let me see if I can call them. Will that help? My phone did something weird. Did your phone do anything, Taylor, when you tried calling it?
The first time it hung up on me, so something's going on.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to see if I can call them. But it's really strange because at the end of the day, you know, crimes like these, we don't want to see our teen population wiped out because they're killing each other because they don't have enough to do or they don't understand, you know, life as it is and they're just in their immature thinking, you know, resolution, you know, how conflict resolution, when you're an adult, you know to walk away because life is more, you know, valuable than, you know, just taking someone's life. But when you're a teen, maybe you feel like, oh, you know, if you cause me a problem, then I just, you know, do what I got to do, which is not the mature way of doing it. But I think a lot of times children, and when I say children, teens, they may not see it that way. So, y'all, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to dial two of our guests over the phone because they can't seem to dial in. So we're going to try to dial them and see if that helps. I apologize, y'all. I did not know that all of a sudden we're having these kind of issues and because they've called in before. Let's see if that works. And we're praying.
Hello.
Good evening, twin.
How you doing there?
Fine, how are you?
Super fantastic. I'm sorry, we've been trying to get in for some reason. Our provider won't let us.
Well, and I have heard that they do that on conference calls. All of a sudden, they're clapping down, y'all. If you got a cell phone, T-Mobile tries to make you pay them. How much did they say? A cent, 1 cent a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. Well, listen, guys, thank you for joining us. Wow. We were talking about the quadruple homicide that occurred over in Morningside last Friday about this very same time. And what were you all thought? I want y'all to think about it, and I'm going to go to this ad, and I'm going to come back. But what were your thoughts when you saw the photos? Have you all seen the photos of the young men in the car?
Yes, ma'am, we have.
Okay. You have. Okay. Think about your thoughts when you first saw that and understood exactly what was going on. And when I come back from this ad, I want you to tell me about it. All right, so we're going to hear about Taylor Mudrick running for House District.
Years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given in the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living's going up, and our paychecks aren't quite cutting it. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us to fix these issues, and yet more problems. I'm Taylor Mondig. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together in 2. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
So, twins, you saw the photo. I saw the photo. What were your thoughts when you first saw it and knew, you know, that it happened over there in the Morningside community about this time last Friday? What were your thoughts when you saw it?
Well, to tell the truth, my daughters, you know what I'm saying, in their mid to early 30s, showed me the picture. And the first thing, I imagined was it has to come from a movie. Mm-hmm. We are dealing with movie scripts in our streets now. Which is unbelievable. So, yes, it was frightening. And the way that they said, I mean, with the rumors of what happened and what have you, again, it's something that's beyond our imagination, but it's now our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
this is Antonio Twin, and Red Bull is right here next to me.
Red Bull, what's
and,
your thought?
Well, once again, you know, I have to also agree with what Blue Bull says about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're living, they live in a virtual reality,
mm-hmm.
where we live in a reality world.
Mm-hmm.
But that virtual reality is still actual and factual. They come with this metaverse, it's a metaverse where they play these games and things actually look real to them,
mm-hmm.
and on, you know what I'm saying, in these video, spectacles, glasses,
mm-hmm.
it actually looks real to them, and they can do certain things inside of that metaverse,
mm-hmm.
and they bring it to reality. Mm-hmm. But the mind is actual and factual. You can have a dream and wake up, and if you're running in your dream, you'll wake up breathing hard.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
The mind is actual and factual. So now the youth is bringing those dreams to the reality of the people that are real, to a real life situation. You follow
wow.
me?
I do.
Mm.
Yeah. So we, listen, our generation, and when I say our generation, after 1970,
mm-hmm.
our children were completely genocide.
Mm.
And the definite indication of that is they claim to be African American. Mm-hmm. The word African is a code word for conquered.
Mm.
When the colonizers came to the Western Hemisphere, they looked to the Eastern Hemisphere and they called it Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That means that was a conquered land. That's the way they viewed it. When they came to the Western Hemisphere and they colonized all the way up to 1970, they realized that they have completely conquered the land. That's why they called it Africa, America. And the occupancies of this that they conquered were the African Americans. So this is a complete indication that our children has been completely genocided. And I've seen people that walk around with their dogs. And for some reason, the dog's starting to look like the master.
Mm.
And the reason why these dogs start looking like the master is because the dog assumes the characteristics of what has been watching since a pup.
Mm.
So our children are assuming the characteristics of the invaders.
Wow.
Those invaders would be called colonizers, and colonizing is civilizing.
Hmm.
So we have been completely civilized by a people that has no interest in us but for us to be the help.
Wow.
If you got on the elevator. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just about to say. If you got on the elevator with a counterpart, because you got on that elevator with the counterpart, he or she is going to expect you to push the button, even though you're both going in the same direction. Because you are, yeah, go ahead.
And I hear where you're going, but okay, when you say 1970 to now, that's a big gap. That's like a long, long, long time. Is that 40 years? I don't know, 40, 50 years. It's like a lot of years. 40 years, 35 years, something like that. But right now, if we just deal with in the moment, we see, like you said, and you said the video games. And Taylor mentioned, something earlier about the water. And I want to be clear before I say this. I'm not talking about specifically this shooting. We're talking about teen violence tonight, teen gun violence in Fort Worth. So anybody who says I'm specifically talking about those young men, that would be incorrect. We're talking about teen violence in Fort Worth as a whole. That said, if Taylor mentioned the water over there, in Morningside has lead in it. We know lead can do some serious things to the brain. We know the environment. We got chemtrails in the air. We know the schools are dumbing down the students. And a lot of cases, no fathers in a home. Does all of that play a huge role in the whole scheme of how we got to where we are right now?
Well, yeah, yes. I can say every facet of our life
mm-hmm.
is attributed to becoming genocide.
Mm.
Every facet. From where you live, redlining. They mm-hmm. call your area the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because wherever you at, they put poverty in your mind as if you don't have nothing. Therefore, you go out and you do devious things to achieve or get something. I remember the movie Boys in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
After our children saw Boys in the Hood, we had carjacking all over from state to state.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You follow where I'm coming from?
Right.
Now, not only that, this movie had soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Those soundtracks are the songs that get into the mindset of our children that makes them want to go out and carjack.
Mm-hmm.
The music itself is a poisoning
mm-hmm.
of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our babies want to be rappers, and they also want to be YouTubers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for them to get the contract, guess who have to give them the contract? The counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
And they are only getting the contract because of the derogatory statements that's made in the music against our people.
And y'all, let me hit on what he said about that music before I forget, y'all. Listen, there's some rappers out of Florida, out of Duval County, who actually write music about who they killed, and anybody who wants me to send y'all an example of this, I will after the show. Just inbox me on Facebook. But there's some rappers, and they're very good. That's the crazy part. They're very good rappers, and they rap about who they killed, and in the lyrics, they're talking about how they did it.
Mm.
And so much of this, and they become very popular. They have 50 million views on YouTube. You know, numbers like that, just insane numbers like that on YouTube. And so when our kids, you know, see somebody making money off of YouTube and getting 50 million views, they're thinking, well, wow, I wouldn't mind getting that kind of money. And so it's so many things that our kids are influenced by that 20 years ago we would have laughed at and thought there's no way. But today it is, yeah, they're doing it. I mean, they see it. And they mimic it, and they talk about it, and they get in groups and they do it. So the music is, you know, is very
influencing.
You're exactly right, and that's scary how much of an influence or the music is an influencer of our kids. You know,
listen to this. If you ever listen to Dr. Martin Luther King, the way that he used to write, he used to use these resounding words and these words that illustrate, you understand, strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have in our music called mumble rap.
Mm-hmm.
Our children don't even have to use words anymore.
Yeah.
To express what they feel.
Yeah.
Now they got videos and they show by holding fingers up. These fingers ain't peace fingers. And if they are, they holding it if it's a peace in their hand. And you know what kind of peace I'm speaking of.
Right.
You follow where I'm coming from?
I absolutely do. I mean, it's so, the movie. I mean, like you said, the movies, the music. You know, who we idolize. You know, we idolize people just because they have money. In our society, money equals status, where it's not about accomplishment anymore. A teacher isn't somebody that our children look up to anymore, or a banker. Mm-hmm. They look up to the rapper and the basketball player and the guy in the movie who, you know, shot somebody. So all the way around, it's the wrong influences that we're allowing our kids to latch on to, and in the end, they're acting out on something that they may have heard in a song or something that they may have seen in a movie. I mean, that's just how much reality and fiction are crossing each other today, and our kids are the victims. You know, and again, I don't know what happened in Morningside, and I'm not trying to be, you know, the police, because I don't know, and I'm not trying to investigate that homicide, because, again, I don't know. I'm going to leave that to the police. But I'm saying, in general, the teen violence that we're seeing in Fort Worth, the gun violence, Didn't we see a shooting in East? What's the school on Meadowbrook? The high school East? Y'all forgive me. I'm not from Fort Worth. What's it called? Eastern Hill?
Eastern Hill.
Remember the guy that got killed last summer at Eastern Hill? And then the next day somebody else got shot at the same school?
Yeah. What we have to realize is this. The word genocide, that's what they came through. They came to conquer the land and then conquer the mind of the occupancies of the land, which is our people. The first thing they did was took our tongue, meaning the language. And then they gave us a language. And the language that they gave us is a curse. They even taught us how to write in cursive. And we didn't even pick up on that. All right? Mm-hmm. Well, if I asked you to spell eight and you spell it A-T-E, I'm going to say, no, I was meaning E-I-G-H-T. Mm-hmm. Now we can't even understand one another because of the language. You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The language creates a certain brainwave pattern in our minds. They call it the gyro patterns.
Mm.
And when you listen to Spanish songs, they're always talking about love. You listen to our baby, they're always talking about hate and taking lives.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, this is Red Bull, my theory is the reason for that is because of the language and the gyro, the patterns that has been put in the heads of our youth. You follow me? This is not English what we speak. We speak American because the English man didn't come over here with language. If that was so, bling bling wouldn't be new.
I'm going to agree with you to the extent we don't speak the Queen's language anymore. First of all, we let them trick us into slang is cooler than being able to speak proper English. And then we let them trick us into you don't need to use a whole word. You need to just text a few words and just break it all the way up. So, you know, it ain't even a word anymore. That's how we're communicating with each other. And if you pay attention, people don't talk on the phone anymore. They text each other. And so between that and the dumbing down of our students in the school system, which, you know, is like failing, how are they prepared for the real world? How are they 17 and ready to enter the real world or 18 ready to enter the real world when this is all they've had?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
You're definitely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for the most part, you are definitely right. The intelligence level is not even required anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just think about this. Remember just 2 years ago when COVID came through, they did not let not one student go to school for at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. Do you actually think America was worried about our babies being dumb?
Mm-hmm.
For two years, no learning?
That's true.
You follow where I'm coming from? They don't even care if we learn or not because what? Because we are the help. And when you graduate from high school, they're going to take you to what they call a job, and they're going to train you OJT, on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't – they don't care about what we learn or don't learn. As long as you know that you are the help. And when you go out and you take the life of your own people, you are helping with their narrative. Go ahead.
I want to put the cherry on the top. Okay, when we were in school, we knew we were taught how to write a check. We were taught how to write in cursive.
Yeah.
We were taught how to tell time and not by watching or looking at our phones. and we can make change because we learned arithmetic in school. Now we have kids coming out of high school who don't know any of this, but the world is telling them that the work that you need $17 an hour in order to live, which is true, but they don't even have the basic skills to demand $17 an hour, if that makes sense. So we have set our children up for failure. Who said something?
Yes.
What I want to say is this. Oh, go ahead.
Who was speaking?
What I want to say is this. When they took the skills out of the school, that's where we were dropped off.
Mm.
Yes.
We don't know how to sew anymore. They took home economics. They don't. You don't have. You can't cook. Our women can't cook. All they're doing is warming up food.
Mm-hmm.
You following?
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Do you know anybody that know how to go out and get a live chicken and do a complete meal?
Mm-hmm.
No. As a matter of fact, I just saw just 2 or 3 days ago that every tree that's planted from now on is a male tree. Therefore, it do not bear fruit.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what I'm trying to show you is it's much, much deeper than our babies going out in these streets and taking their lives. It's deeper than that. Our babies has been trained to do that since 1970. Whenever somebody, except being an African American, then that lets me know where their mind is at, and I am petrified of that person because they do not know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
When we start, go ahead.
Let me add something to that, y'all. Pay attention, and this is general, but everybody I know is sensing the same thing. Grown people are snapping like twigs due to the stress of this world. Now, what do you think that's doing to the children in this world? And so when you see grown people having mental breakdowns because they can't handle the stress, are we also seeing some of our children going through mental crises and they're just maybe not being diagnosed properly? Because the stress of this world right now is at an all-time high. And if you are basically not a strong person, you won't even survive. So I can't even imagine a child trying to maneuver their way through this world without a strong family support system. But they're out
there. Well, I'll say this. I'll say this, too, because this kind of goes in line with what he's talking about, and you know, there's a real effort to put doctors and psychiatrists in schools, okay? And my concern, and this is kind of in keeping with everything, is they want to medicate these kids a lot of times without telling, you know, parents, and that's kind of terrifying. So right now I think big pharma, things like that, all of these medicines we're shoving down people's throats. If they get that in schools like they're doing in some other states, that is only going to continue to keep our kids from awakening, you know, to who they really are, to their possibilities, if that makes sense.
I absolutely agree. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we're talking about gun violence amongst teens in Fort Worth and how we can bring it under control. If you have a question or a comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. Listen, we're going to take our last call at 8, no later than 8:45 tonight, because for some reason things get real crazy after 8:45 when we take calls. So new rule, we're not taking any calls after 8:45. That said, who was speaking? Who was saying something before I interrupted?
Yes, this is Antonio Twin Harris. I want to give you a brief synopsis of what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
Because are we really surprised? How can we be surprised when the detriment of us is perpetuated constantly? It's perpetuated through television, radio, everything that we see from our products that are even being put in our stores. It's perpetuated. How are we surprised about what's going on? You know, the thing about it is one thing we could say is one man's strategic plan is another man's demise. Conspiracy. So again, we are not paying attention that it was meant to be, because it was set up to be like that. And then here we are thinking that we are going to change that which is going to happen by doing and following that of those who put the plan in place in the first place. So again, my thing is, we say put down the gun. If we put down the gun, guess what? We're more prey.
Mm-hmm.
But if we hold the gun and we change the mindset of those who are holding the gun, now we are armed and protected. But our problem is we don't touch our baby to let them know and understand that, hey, first of all, we love you. And second of all, you must become lovable.
Mm-hmm.
Love and become lovable. Why? Because when you love and become lovable, how often do you think that you'll point a gun and hurt somebody? That's the problem. We have got so far away from who we are as a people that it's unbelievable. And this is why I say you can't be surprised. How dare we be surprised about what is said before us? Will we be surprised if a light gets turned off?
Mm-hmm.
Will we be surprised? How can we be surprised when we don't even control the switch?
Mm-hmm.
So don't be surprised about the genocide. And the cold part about it is it's going to get worse.
I agree.
It is set up like that. We just had a movie called But she is king, woman king.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not really understanding what is really taking place there?
Mm-hmm.
The mindset of our women, our girls, our young ladies are taking the place of our men, our boys, our young men.
Yeah.
So remember, it is systematically set up for that to happen.
Through the movie.
The movie, the new social media, our worst enemy. Why not? Because we don't even control.
Well, let me ask you this. Is our police department equipped to address teen gun violence in Fort Worth? And when I say that, are they given enough diversity training? We need more officers of color. The fact that there's no trust between community and police. So with that said, is our police department prepared to address this issue right now?
No, they are the it almost tickled me, but it hurts just as bad. Because they are part of the reason in the first place, if not the very reason. Remember I told you, how are we going to try and come up with a cure from those giving us the poison? Are we serious?
This really do it.
And what I want to say, I remember being in elementary school, and the police and the fire department coming to the school and showing us the jobs, you understand, how to do this, police, you understand? So I was in elementary. Did they come up there when I was in high school? No. Because they don't want me to be the police. They don't want me to be a fireman. Because those are careers. And those careers are not set up for us. Mm. You understand?
Right.
Unfortunately, most of our police men are football players that didn't get drafted. You follow me? That's why they're so burly and strong.
Well,
you follow me? So we are put. That's one of the simple, the most simplest way of showing you how our minds are twisted in a certain way. The police that come to the high school are coming to arrest us.
Okay.
You follow me?
I do. What I saw this week that was disturbing, there was a picture circulated on social media of the Fort Worth Police Department's promotion, recent promotions, you know, people who got, you know, high-ranking positions. And there was a whole bunch of people, but only three were black out of a whole bunch of people. And I did not count them. I shouldn't have. But it was very telling that we are not diversified in our management levels of the police department. So that kind of tells you what's going on at the bottom.
How do you expect people to go into neighborhoods, go into trap houses, go into wherever, and not be familiar at all?
Right.
At all with the situation. Yeah, that's crazy.
Right. You throw somebody in, you know, that's a rookie on the street, and you throw them in more waiting pretty soon, or if they haven't already graduated, and you throw them in Morningside on the midnight shift, he's scared to death. She's scared to death. And that's why things like a Tatiana Jefferson happened. Exactly right. And so police have got to rethink how they're putting rookies on the street. You put them in
still connected. Yeah, I think the connection went bad. Connection. I don't know.
Hello?
Years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living is going up. Our paychecks are going to be cut. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us to fix these issues and yet more problems. I'm Taylor Mondig. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rate, keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together in two. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
Why are y'all? I guess that last comment did not go over well. 469-743. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Wow.
Good evening, Carrie. Hello, everybody. Yeah, I was. I'm glad you punched me. I definitely wanted to make a comment about the effect that police recruiting, lack of diversity, all of these things play into the problems we're having with the racial disparity we're having with police and the community, especially the African American community. We are now considered we're the poison of fruit. We're pushed aside and we're treated like insignificant. And that's something that has just been ingrained. We see it since it's been so subliminally. I mean, you know, like the point the brother was saying earlier about, you know, just even the hip-hop culture, how the subliminal music just kind of, you know, permeates these kids' minds. Because some of these kids are listening to this gangster rap music, you know, while they're in the baby seat, when they ride, when the mama wants to have the kid to be quiet for a while, sit them in front of the TV, give them that console, they playing World of War, and then, you know, how many times have you seen these shootings, these school shootings where they actually, they're carrying a gun, they're walking down the hallway, and they're shooting people just like you do when you play the video game.
Yeah.
You know, these things, I mean, these things are real, and they're playing out over and over again, just like yesterday in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an ongoing cycle that's just, we're fed by the culture. And, you know, people like us, we're getting up there in age. We're going to be fading out pretty soon, and there's going to be no hope because, you know, we're the ones trying to teach these young people this is not the way, but unfortunately, too many people are showing them the way. Like, how many people can tell time with a regular clock now? How many people can read a speedometer that's not digital? Everything's digital now. How many people can work out a math problem, you know, add and divide and fraction? You know, all these things is coming into all these things is coming into play now, and people are, you know, totally clueless. And it's just it just constantly going on and on. And it's going to get better. I mean, I know, Carrie, we talked about this in private, but I was going to talk about this personally since we're talking about this subject. Like, I'll tell you about my son-in-law, Dacian Steptoe. And the unfortunate things that happened with him, you know, he went through a lot of bad things growing up. Then becoming a father at a young age, you know, he watched a lot of death. He watched, you know, people getting killed, friends that died. And he had been in and out of prison. You know, even in his teenage years. And then I remember, you know, and the thing that was so poignant about it was when he shot and killed Officer Garrett Hull, everybody wanted to castigate him. And some people treated him like they was a hero, like, hey, this brother killed a cop, and was cheering him for that. And I thought that was quite sickening because they did not know all the pain that young man went through. And I know, like, when I saw him that last week before he passed away, he just seemed like he was very distant and withdrawn. And part of that is because he was still getting over the sudden death of his infant son. He never got over that. I mean that lasted, like, I think his son died 2015. He only lived 3 years after that, but he lived in pain. And then half that time he was in jail. So. When I spoke to Officer Hull's father, who, needless to say, was devastated over losing his son. And I spoke to him, and then I tried to speak to some of the people like Betsy Price that was there, Chief Fitzgerald, you know, and he gave that little fire and brimstone speech about going out here and annihilating scumbags and doing this and all this other stuff, which, you know, deeply offended me because I feel like he's putting a target on the black community, because we all know what happened after that, how many people got killed from 2018 to the time that Tatiana Jefferson was killed. Police officers declared war on the streets, like, we're not going to take chance. We're going to just shoot to kill and worry about the consequences later. And that message has been resonating all over, you know, not just in Fort Worth. And, if we're sitting here watching these things happen in slow motion, and we're sitting here powerless to stop because our own city leaders, they're not going to do anything. It's a us against them narrative. It's you know, you hear the mayor, all they're talking about is more police, and how we got to eradicate crime. You know, Mayor Eric Johnson basically declared war on the streets and then threw Chief Hall under the bus. So, I mean, we're not, if we don't get control of what's going on, if we don't start becoming more vigilant, not, I mean, just as private citizens, we have to really get a hold of this because we can't wait for the police to do anything. We can't wait for the streets to do anything. We can't wait for anybody. We got to take the initiative ourselves.
I agree.
So,
absolutely. You know, one thing we are good at, and I don't know why we do this, we don't really talk about, you know, and people say black-on-black crime is no different than white-on-white crime. People kill the people that are closest to them. Get it. But we are killing each other at a rate higher than other groups. And so that said, how do we get a hold on this thing? Because we are going to we're going to kill off the population if we continue like this. If we don't put a value on life, if we got to start valuing life and realize that, you know, every situation does not call for you to take out the next person, you know, to the point of killing them. How do we address that?
Society, we don't, as a society, value life. You know, if you just look around, like what we're seeing, I mean, take the way girls dress now on the television, you know, or walking down the street and you see a 14-year-old and she's barely got clothes on, right? That's not valuing life. You take, like you were talking about, the movies and constant murder and assaults, and it is a cultural and societal thing. You just look around and you can tell that we're not a society that values life, in my opinion.
That's an excellent point. I think you're right. I think in terms of the music, the only way that we stop them from producing music that we do not like is to stop buying it. The only way that we make them produce movies that we want to see is we stop buying the movies that or going to the movies that we don't want to see. And I think we've got to start putting our dollars where we want them to go in terms of making our community better. Because if we're putting our dollars into rap music and then expecting them to produce better rap music, it's not going to happen. They're producing what they say we want to hear. But I beg to differ with you. I guarantee you, if you brought back some of the older rap where we understood what they were saying, where there was a message behind Tupac's song or what Biggie was saying, I think the young generation could appreciate that. We're just being denied that for whatever reason. And I think that's by design. Like Twin said, that's by design.
Yes, but it's funny how you mentioned Tupac. Mm-hmm. Tupac matters his message. He brought the biggest division in our children than any other man because he divided the East Coast and West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't even realize. You have to understand Tupac was the tool used to break up Death Row. He went into that camp, you understand, with hatred and division.
Yeah.
You follow me? So we have to understand. They allow our babies to become these greats because they are used as tools. Those are pawns of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
We overlook the minute thing, just like Woman King. The title itself is very detrimental to our society. They automatically given a female a masculine name. Very detrimental. You follow me? So we have to look at the minute thing, but matters that I want to talk about Luxionary, and I know you probably want to get to that.
No, please.
I believe the more what I would call it conducive way of revamping the mind of our baby. First of all, we have to reconstruct the education system because we started at the age 6. Then we went to 5-year-old. Then we went to 4-year-old. Now they starting at 3 years old to captivate the mind and make them slave-minded. You ever heard the movie 12 Years of Slavery?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take you to graduate? You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Cold-blooded stuff. Listen, I've been down there through it, and I understand what's going on. But what I believe, if we take and become a people that they don't recognize, then we will better. You follow where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this. You asked, do I always
okay,
heard.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm.
If you zig and it ain't working, then damn it, I think it's time to start zagging.
Mm.
If the police can't talk to our children while they zigging, then let's let the criminals talk to them and start zagging. In the educational system, a criminal can't get in to talk to the babies to tell them what not to do or what to do in certain situations. You follow me?
I do.
And that's the main thing. So my thing is this. If you have a group of people that continues to give you new names,
mm-hmm.
Negro, African American, you keep changing. Every generation, you different from your mother and you different from your grandmother. Y'all a whole different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't know who you are. So my suggestion is let's get together and claim something different, and everybody that claims this know the detriment of being detrimental to that certain colony. Just like
you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you 25 minutes. Go ahead.
No, that was basically what I was saying. If we start rejuvenating the mind and we all become family or familiar with the same ideas, likes and ideas, then we would be cohesive. We would become more cohesive as a people, then we'll be able to navigate out of that slavery mentality or that ghetto mentality, because now we have something to claim that nobody else gave us in the census. You follow me? They come up with these words and they put it on the census. So that's the way I view it. So go ahead. I'm done. I want to
segue right off of that. You know, if you watch advertising, y'all, and you got to pay attention real close because this stuff is like real subliminal. But pay attention. The advertisement now is geared toward showing you a gay couple, an interracial couple, mostly a black woman and a white man, or a single black woman with her children.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. So they're not showing the black man. The black man is absent in most of this. So they're showing you that, you know, if you follow, you know, this thing far enough, you're going to see that the black man, they're taking him out of here. If he's not in any of the pictures or any of the advertisement, that's because they don't expect him to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. While we're going back to the phone lines, we're going to pick up 817-966. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 817-966.
Hi. Hi, this is Kev Tatum.
Hi, Brother Pastor Tatum. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I was just listening to you all's show, and I wanted to hear more about what you all were talking about.
Okay. Tell us what you did last Thursday or this past Thursday at your church.
We had a meeting of community leaders who are really just fed up with the lack of action or the inaction of our leadership to put in a plan that could help reduce the gun violence in our communities, particularly with the proliferation of teen gun violence that has now caused the life of four young men in a car in the neighborhood in which I pastor. And so it has become a traumatizing episode for those of us, a continued traumatizing episode for those of us who are working in the communities trying to grapple with this senseless violence. It has so many reasons in terms of its cause, but we cannot allow our media outlets and or our police departments to just demonize and marginalize these young men into deviants who deserve to die. Mm-hmm. And that's where my biggest concern has been with Black leadership, with their lack of trying to humanize these young men and women who are dying, instead of allowing the narrative to be one that these individuals not only deserve, but got exactly what they deserved. Mm-hmm. And so if we're candid and honest with ourselves, I know I try to be, at 16, 17, and 18, the only difference in them is me is nothing but the grace of God. I was saved from some of the dumb, stupid decisions I made at 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. But to not just acknowledge that, yes, what they did was dumb, and yes, when you do things like those, dumb things like that, death is a possibility. But at the end of the day, they are still human, and they are still someone's baby, and they deserve to die with a certain amount of respect. So we have jumped in this hornet's nest of trauma and the lack of treatment of trauma in hopes that we can push the envelope to bring trauma to our children who are left in the community to deal with this. And as I shared with one, if this incident had happened on the west side in Clear Fork or Tanglewood neighborhood, the mayor, the council, the police chief, everyone would have been on TV expressing why haven't we caught this guy or whatever, and we would have been talking about, but because they're Black and it's so easy to excuse them as being deviant, our city gets a pass with dealing with the root cause of the crime. So we're not going to allow that to happen. I'm tired, and so many others are. So we're pressing the envelope.
Is the answer, Pastor Tatum, putting mentors in schools? Because in a lot of cases, we know that children, a lot of times today, they don't have a strong family unit, and they are just basically hanging on by a thread. And so should there be strong mentorships in schools?
No, it's not. No, there needs to be God in schools. Look here. These young people between 0 and 18 has greater access to guns and drugs than jobs and God. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. We don't need mentors. We need godly mentors. We need someone who deals with the consciousness of man, the soul of man. We've given up our soul for a little bit of gold. So no, we don't just need mentors. We need God back in the Black. Listen, every phase of Black civilization in America, from slavery to separate but equal, Jim Crow, and integration, the Black church has been the center, the core of the reform. Not the courts, not the schools. It was the Black church. What makes us think that we have become so intelligent, so profound, so affluent that we don't need God back in the center of our being? That's craziness on our part. And until we turn back to God, we're going to continue. It's going to get worse. These babies killing each other. They killed, listen, 19 kids got shot in the face by 18-year-old Sergio Ramos, and the governor, with his idiotic self, tried to marginalize and minimize it to just mental health.
So, no, it's not mentors. I'm sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of you sending the ones who caused the crime, who caused the proliferation of guns and drugs and violence. You're going to pay them to go back in the community, and there's no connectivity to God in their program.
So well,
it's about what they think, what they feel, and what they believe. No training, no education, no development, and just the desire to go back in there. No, no, absolutely not.
Okay, so a lot of people are saying, where's the church?
We're here.
Okay. They're here.
Hello. We did $12 million in distribution during COVID. We've been leading when everyone else is pandering, doing petty politics. Listen, men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't lie. Black businesses gone out of our community. Black social groups gone out of our community. Everything black gone except the black church. It still remains the one institution. And if they could have taken it out, they would have taken it out first. But only by the grace of God, the word of God tells us, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we know that. Mama knew that. Grandmama knew that. Big mama knew that. Big daddy knew that. What's wrong with us turning back to God right now in these times?
Well, you know, we got that big CCPD funding that's being distributed this month. How should some of that money be blanketed across the city to help with this issue?
Ungodly distribution of those funds. Here's what I said Thursday, and I continue to say it, and I'll say it to anyone at any time. Unless and until the black church is the core and the center of reform in the black community, there will be no substantive, long-term, and systematic reform in gun violence, period. You can throw all the money in the world you want at it. You can put all the programs in prison. 30 years ago, I was the one who thought we didn't need the church. And we went out on this journey trying to do this thing on our own without God. And every chance the devil got, he shot at us and he hit because we were doing it without God. But the minute we turned to God and asked him to lead us in this, they shot, but the arrows didn't stick. They sabotage, but they don't win. They get the positions, but we still have the power. It's only through the power of God that we're going to reform our black community or reconcile it. And if we don't, then we're going to fulfill what the Bible says. I mean, it's real, but I think black people still have a chance if we just turn back.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor Tatum: how could the quadruple murder murders over there in Morningside have been prevented? What could have stopped it?
Here's what I heard when the news broke about me sharing that picture, and I don't know if you've seen it or not yet. I don't know
if I gave
it to you or not, but you have, right?
I have.
I started getting calls from police officers, from teachers, from school board members saying those were my kids. They were respectful kids. Yes, troubled, but they were not bad kids. I kept hearing that theme. Wow. I kept hearing that theme. So I'm thinking in my mind, I get it. I wasn't a bad kid. I did devilish things as a dumb 17-year-old, insecure, immature, and irresponsible. So the more I heard that, the more I began to see, aha, so people knew they were troubled but didn't get them any help. Police officers, school administrators, counselors, CPS, they all know early the kids who are turning left, who are troubled, who are not making it the normal way. it's not as if they don't know. In fact, they set up prison beds based on third grade reading scores, so they know. Mm-hmm. Here's the issue. What they know, they don't want to share it with the black church and the black community so we can know early and then give us the resources to help turn those kids around. And we measure their success, we monitor their success, and we celebrate their success. It's a whole new attitude other than they don't matter, we don't care, they don't mean to see what I think. I call it the pork chop mentality. You have two hungry dogs in a cage, and you throw a pork chop in the middle of them, and they kill each other. And instead of you sitting up there trying to save the two, you sitting there studying and writing about how they're killing each other over the provisions we gave them, instead of saying, I didn't give enough provisions so that they don't kill each other. That's why you got to get back to the church, because the church is the compassion arm of all of this. It's the compassion arm of the reform. The church. Because anytime I was working in politics, or anytime I was working in education reform, or anytime I was working in public health reform, in order for them to prove their position, they would always make this phrase, let's take the heart out of the matter. And I said, why in the world would you take a heart out of any matter? Because they know what they're doing. We know what they're doing. We just don't have courageous leaders to challenge them with what they're doing. We gave $18 million, $18 million just 3 weeks ago to Garza County, Polk County, Tarrant County Commissioners Court, approved $18 million for 500 state prisons to be housed in this little podunk town in West Texas to put $18 million in their economy. Imagine what we could do with $18 million. I can do more than 500. I can do almost 5,000. Early, before they go in. So they're willing to spend $36,000 to warehouse them and give us $10,000 to help reform. I mean, it's demonic.
Mm-hmm. And the money is just not being spread out right, y'all. It's not being allocated right. Your CCPD funding
is not being allocated right.
It's not based on.
Listen, money's being spent based on who go down there and raise hell.
Yeah.
Doing this trial to keep this trial from going to berserk, they started giving monies to people they, Fort Worth in its history, has never given $250,000 to some ex-gang members to go teach kids not to be gang members.
Oh, wow.
Fort Worth has never done nothing like that in its history.
Ouch.
And to say you're doing it to try to make it, you're absolutely sending a false narrative. And you're manipulating those people because you've been at the table with us for years and years and years. And because we got you long before all six of these reports, we had you dead right of center with your incompetent, cowardly, consciousness cops on the street. And now all of these reports are validating what we're saying, and you're still not giving us the consent decree. No, to hell with y'all. Y'all do. And then so you're going to go in to some hungry neighborhoods of people who are hungry, put them in the cage with you, with each other, and get them that little money and watch them start fighting each other before it's over with. I mean, watch. You watch. Because somebody didn't get some, and another one got some, and they feel like they can get some because they were worse criminals than them.
Wow.
And that's why I said, if the black church is not at the center, the core of your reform, you're not talking about reform. You're talking about manipulation.
So the thing is, you know, I've tried to reach out to the police department to get their CCPD funding people to come on and tell us more about who can and who can't get the money, but that ain't happening, y'all. They ain't talking to me. But that said, I have said, and I've done a show on it, that money is not being spread out right because our children need more to do. They got to have an outlet, and there's no outlet in Fort Worth. And so our kids are stuck on top of each other, and when they don't have anything to do, you know, we see what we saw last Friday night.
You have a complete Fort Worth culture, a white, conservative, Confederate Fort Worth culture, in spite of all of these problems that are well-documented and otherwise, would tell you that's not my job.
You know,
that's not our job.
You know, some people say this job belongs to the parent. It's the parent's responsibility that the children are doing this and doing that. Is the responsibility of the parents, you know, and everybody on this phone line, with the exception of probably Taylor, will know what this commercial was about. But back in the day, there used to be a commercial that says, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Remember that commercial? So they were making parents aware that it's time for your children to be in the house. So is some of this responsibility about parents being responsible for their children and knowing where their children are and knowing what their children are into, or is this bigger than just the parents?
If it's only about the parents, then why do we need the village?
Okay.
It has to be bigger than the parents. And for anyone to point the fingers at the parents have never raised children beyond teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than the parents. I say things to my children which go in one ear and right out to the other. They know I'll kill them if they got in trouble, but sometimes I say one thing that goes in one ear right out the other. But they go right down the street to a coach, a teacher, professor, or someone else, or say the same thing, and they'll say, aha, I get it.
Yes, yes.
So I'm not mad at the professor. I'm glad they got it. Because that's what the village does. So that's nonsense. And we bought into that. White people say that, but they have they have nannies, they have maids, they have everybody to help them raise their kids. More black breast milk went in white babies than went in black babies. It's a village. And this notion that we can point the finger at the parents or just the police. No, it's every one of us. Every one of us must be convicted that we do everything in our power, not just for our kids, but our friends' kids. I mean, that's the biblical principle. Your neighbor is not the one who you decide to live by. Your neighbor is the one who in need and you have compassion to help. So absolutely not. I'm not putting this on those parents alone. Parents got it right now. Those parents of those four boys, they need compassion, love, and empathy, because no parent would want their kid in that spot knowing that they've given them everything that they could to make it or did the best they can with what they had. Yeah, we got some bad parents, but we got a whole lot of bad police, and they sure got a whole lot of bad preaching.
So let me ask you this.
Except to embrace that, it's just the parents. It's the village.
For all y'all on the phone lines, should we be packing out City Hall the 18th, which is the next comment night, and addressing this issue and asking for solutions from our city council and mayor?
100%. Pack it
up. I agree.
So the only only challenge I have with packing out anything at this time, if you don't have a comprehensive plan or strategy in your hands demanding what you need, then you are engaging in an act of futility. Before you pack out anything, make sure your strategy is right. Make sure you have your plan ready, and then you demand. And you stay there until your demands are met. But just to go down there and say something, you don't have a plan, you don't have nothing ready to go, you're not ready and prepared to make that happen, I think that's adding somewhat to the fire and not really solving the problem. So I don't discount it, because no one has ever protested more than I have. I mean, you know, I've been to jail more. I've been, you know, slandered, sued, you know, sent all kind of stuff. But the reality of it is there was always an end game for anything we did that we wanted to get. So what is the end game? What is the end game? Just for them to give more money? Well, give more money to who?
and to what and to why? And then what are we saying we're going to do that can be evaluated at the end and that we can improve on what we said we're going to do? Mm-hmm. I just like to know. Total Power used to say you got to have an exit strategy. So we got to know what it is we going to do about that, because otherwise there's enough out there. We need to go to the federal court. We need to take up an offer to go to the federal court because we can show clearly the desperate treatment and disproportionality for black leaders and people in this community. We just filed one with the school board and the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights for the PASCO deal. Less than 6% of their student population is black. I think these individuals you have are conscious, progressive, thought, positive thinkers and doers, but I just think we need to collaborate in a way that we all have the same friend. That's why we did last Thursday, to get people who genuinely care in the room, and let's put something together so that not one of us win, but all of us win.
Well, everyone, when are you having the next
there.
Meeting?
Huh?
When are you having the next meeting?
Every Thursday we meet. This Thursday is just going, we're going to hear from the neighborhood folk there, and then the following Thursday we're going to begin to plan out our work. So it's the 27th of October is the day at 11 o'clock at Newmount Road.
And you're located at
2864 Mississippi Avenue, Fort Worth, Texas, 76104, on the corner of Mississippi and Glen Garden.
Okay. So, in closing, y'all, what's the solution, Pastor Tatum? I mean, you're having meetings, but right now, what should everybody be doing?
First, we need to all be praying for our community. I mean, a sense of prayer puts us in a position of humility to accepting some of the responsibility, not all of it, but individually some of the responsibility we have with what has gone on. Have we done our best, or have we shortchanged God? Once we get in that place, it opens up God's heart to be able to walk with us through this process. I believe very seriously that we have the right folks, yourself included, to be able to help reform Fort Worth within the black community. But until we sit down and put our plan together and commit to our work, no one's going to take us real seriously. So once we do those two things, turn back to God, sit down and plan our work, and support it all the way to the hill, and don't compromise, don't take no crumbs. The reason they broke us up from Tatiana, and it's taken 3 years, is because they gave some of the most radical activists and otherwise some crumbs, and you haven't heard from them again. Well, we need a group that will stay together and not take the crumbs and get the loaf of bread under their arms. We need to hold loaf of bread because these problems are systematic. So I believe those are the steps. Some of us, you and others, we have plans in our minds, I mean, that I can throw out and lead us in a direction which I believe will be supported. But those two things are critical. Turning back to God and coming back together and sticking together is going to be the key to any reform that we do.
Thank you for chiming in tonight, Pastor Tatum. In closing, what are your thoughts? What can we do immediately to get a handle on this?
Well, I can only speak to, at least right now in this moment, like you had said, I do agree with Pastor Tatum that, you know, starting with a prayer is going to go a long way. And for me personally, all I can do right now in this moment is continue to show up, continue to listen, continue to try to understand more of the plights of each community. And I'm going to continue doing that because even last Thursday, you know, I learned a lot. A lot made me think, and anything that is going to make me think is going to be beneficial for all of us in the long run. So that's what I'll do. I'll show up.
Amen.
Wonderful. Antonio Twin Harris, in closing, what can we do immediately to get a handle on this thing?
Well, immediately what we need to do is, first of all, get our children's attention. Deprogram that mind, reprogrammed their mind. Why? Because for some reason or another, they are thinking in a negative connotation, living a negative type life, and they have no love within their heart, so it's easy to kill. One of the things that I might say that saved us in my generation was the fact that we came together, whether it was at a skating rink, we came together, whether it was at church, we came together, whether it was at school, but we came together. So with that togetherness, we shared each other, and with that sharing, we loved each other. So until we do that, we're going to continue having the
That's right. That's right.
Red Bull.
All right, Red Bull. My I'm on here.
Can you hear me?
Okay. We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay. We can.
My synopsis about the whole thing is rebuking what Reverend Tatum was speaking about, but those organization that has been volunteering and doing the work in our community shows that they are adamant about making change. And what's crazy about our society is they expect us, our people, to volunteer because what? Once again, we are to help. You follow me? If we can get our city to give those people money to continue to do this, then I believe there will be a great change in our community because there is a genuine concern, and it's not about the money. But if the money came, it would be more of an incentive on why they do certain things or give them more time to do and make it better. So that's my synopsis on what needs to be done. Because our babies, they don't have no outlet. Twin just talked about the skating rink. We had the skating rink. We had the parking lot. You follow me? They need an outlet. And what's so cool about that is if we ever got an outlet, they wouldn't have police monitoring that. If we open up a skating rink tomorrow, they wouldn't allow the police to go and monitor that area unless the people that opened up that facility paid the police. They expect us to always volunteer. Well, they get paid to do it. The Red Cross. You understand? They get paid to do it, and they expect us to volunteer to give. So if we can switch it up and we get paid to do our due diligence for our people, then I'm quite sure a lot of this will turn around. I digress with that.
Yeah, I agree. They want charity has become slavery in the black community.
Okay, I don't know what just happened, y'all, but they kicked me out again. So listen, that only means we pissed somebody off. So it is what it is, y'all. But that's the second time I got kicked off in one show. I don't know, Red Bull, had you finished? I'm sorry, I got cut off and had to dial back in. I'm assuming Red
Thank
Bull
you
finished.
All. And love
okay,
you,
thank you.
I appreciate you bringing everybody together. Red Bull, I agree with you. If they gave us that $18 million they sent down to Garza County in Polk City, I promise you we have skating rinks, bowling alleys, you know, and hire our people to secure our people to keep our kids under control, and we won't have to utilize the police or anyone else. You know, so we just have to come together. It's not about religion. It's about compassion. It's about spirituality. What religion really means, whether you're Jewish, Islamic, or Christian, or whatever, it's about depending on a higher power, whatever you call that. But our kids don't have a higher power. Their higher powers are the guns, the drugs, and the perceived power. that they think they have. And that's our fault, not theirs. And I appreciate y'all. I really do. And love y'all, dear.
Appreciate you. Love you back, Pastor Tatum. Listen, y'all, this is the end of another hour. Thank you to Antonio, Twin Harris, Red Bull, Taylor Mondick, Kia Tatum, and Reggie Ruffin for chiming in tonight. Thank you, the audience, for listening. Listen, follow us on Facebook. We're Let's Talk Fort Worth on Facebook. We update it every single day. You'll love the content. We ask you definitely to check out the page and follow and like it as well. Also, we want to hear from you. If you got show ideas, we're listening. Listen, drop me an inbox on Facebook or hit me up at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Listen, y'all, Taylor Mondick showed up tonight. That's his district, House District 95. He's running. He's in the race, y'all. We're going to listen to his ad one more time before we get out of here tonight. But, again, Taylor Mondick running for House District 95.
10 years. That's how long our state rep has been in Austin. And what have we been given the past 10 years? Unaffordable housing, property tax hikes, the cost of living's going up, and our paychecks aren't quite cutting. Our kids, they're getting gunned down in their cars. We put our faith in one person to represent us, to fix these issues, and yet more problems. I'm Taylor Mondick. If you elect me as your state representative for House District 95, you won't find me flying off to D.C. You'll find me in Austin, fighting to decrease our taxes, to reduce the crime rates, to keep more of your hard-earned money in your own pockets and out of the hands of the government. We can make history here in 95. Your voice will be heard. We'll show up. I will do the work. I will represent. He's had 10 years. See what we can do together in 2. Vote for Taylor Mondick on November 8th. I'm Taylor Mondick, and I approve this message.
All right, y'all. We got to get out of here. Until next week, good night.